You know, in today's technological world, which pretty much most of you are aware of, in one way or another, it does require a person to be at least what I would call somewhat knowledgeable about what to do or how to do a particular task. It's going to require some knowledge and some operating skills. I mean, some basic operating skills. I mean, I certainly get questions from family members on how to do a certain thing. Maybe you're the answer man, or maybe you're the one who's asking the questions. I don't know. But, you know, ultimately what we want is the desired result. And, of course, you know, that knowledge base varies from person to person. We all process information differently. And, you know, sometimes the solution to a particular situation or maybe to require, comply with certain requirements, it can't be resolved, right? With the, what I would call the current operating system, we need to find an alternative solution, or in our case, you know, as believers, it's very cool. A solution found us. I've been in various different situations. Actually, I just not too long ago upgraded my computer system. Many of you bought new phones, tablets, these sort of things, because the system that I was using on my computer was outdated. And I was not forced, but I was certainly being asked to change into a different operating system so that everything would work most efficiently. Now, that's in the physical world. Well, how about in the spiritual world? You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, you're welcome to look there. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. Because, you know, at the moment we made the decision to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord in our life, and once that choice presented itself, most of us on this call, if not all of us, made that choice. It was a positive choice to say yes. And, you know, maybe we weren't knowledgeable about all the necessary details. But we made that decision, and at that point, to kind of make a point, a new operating system was installed into us. The new creation of Christ in you, Holy Spirit, was placed within us. And that became a basis for a new way of operating in day-to-day living that was outside of the realm of what, let's say, we had been used to. I mean, I got into the Word, got really born again, more deeply involved in the things of God. I was 25 years old. Okay, so I had lived 25 years under the old operating system. And then all of a sudden, I got a new operating system. So I had to become a little bit more knowledgeable about what was involved in that operating system and how to utilize it, how to have it make sense. I guess you could say that prayer would be like our help desk, a helpline, because we could call on God. Now, it took a while for maybe some of us to figure out we could call on God for help, and some of us, we may still be learning that. But the reality is that operating system God knew would be to our greatest benefit. And I want to look at a couple of verses here. I said 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. We're looking again in the New King James Version. 1 Corinthians 1, 9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. 1 Peter 2, 9, similar type of thought. 1 Peter 2, 9. And it's just so amazing that God, in his wisdom, his grace, his goodness, kindness, and everything, he saw that we needed a new operating system and that we were looking for it. We were searching for it. And he made it available to us. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once we made that decision and once the choice was available to us, we acquired a new operating system. Call it Christ in you, the Holy Spirit, the new nature, the new birth, being born again. All those things are analogies of that spirit nature that was placed in us at the time of the new birth, which simply happened as a result of the fulfillment of the requirements of Romans 10, 9, and 10, which you're all familiar with, I believe, where it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with mouth is confession made unto salvation. At that point, at that second, that nanosecond of time, spirit nature was placed within men, women, children, when that happened. 2 Timothy 1:9. And so we weren't knowledgeable necessarily of all of the details, but you know what we did? We trusted the manufacturer according to the words that were spoken to us in one way, shape, or form or another, to the point that that choice made sense. Now, we didn't know everything about it. We're still learning about it here 50 years later, let's say. But God called us. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. God's pretty smart. He made us whole. That's what the word saved means, wholeness. And he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, our personalities, or anything else, because that would never get us in the door. Jesus Christ was the door, right? He was the bridge that spanned the chasm between man and God. It is the finished work of Jesus Christ that has enabled each and every one of us to now fully engage and function with that new operating system. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, love this. And see, we weren't knowledgeable, again, of all the details, but we tested the manufacturer according to the words that we were presented with. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, love these scriptures. For this reason also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who do what? Believe. We may not have known all the particular details of that operating system in advance, but as life went on and we received more instruction, more guidance, more teaching, and that sort of thing, we began to sort of figure out a little bit more about how that system really operated. And you know what? It did not cost us anything, but it cost God everything, right? You remember John 3:16, God so loved that he gave his only begotten son, right? So we got a brand new operating system. It didn't cost us anything, but it cost God everything. There's a saying out there, maybe you've heard it before, that says, Jesus paid the price, you keep the change. Everything that we have received so freely by grace is because of what Jesus Christ did. God in his love, his foresight, his knowledge, brought forth his son upon this earth. Jesus made those free will choices to sacrifice and give himself willingly. And now as a result, we have access to the greatest resource of all time, who can teach us day by day and moment by moment what this new nature is all about. I love 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. You've heard it as well. Great verses. Talks about just this truth of the word and how this truth can be relied on and trusted and put into action in life. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, reading again from the New King James Version. All scripture, all of it, is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped. You know, it's by grace that we've received. And again, the question keeps coming up. How does it work? If you upgrade your computer to a different operating system, one thing you're going to want to find out is how does it work? What are the details? What's involved? What, I guess many of us, what buttons do I push to find how it really works most efficiently? I mean, we read verses like in 1 Corinthians 12:13 and 14 where it talks about the 9 manifestations of Holy Spirit, right? Speaking in tongues. Well, what is speaking in tongues? Interpretation of tongues. What is that? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. I mean, those are all things that came as a result, that came as part of this new operating system. So if we really want to benefit the best from that, it would be good for us to understand exactly what that is that we've been given. And that's our quest in the Christian life. I recently put something, read something, it says, life is not a destination, it's a journey. That's the thing that we're really all about, is the day-to-day lifestyle, the walk with God, learning to connect with God, and learning to connect with one another. It's not the destination that's so important, it's the journey that we're on in getting us there. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll be reading starting in verse 1. Many of you are familiar with this from the King James Version. I had to stand up and grab my Bible here real quick. It wasn't sitting right in front of me. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, gosh, we've said this so many different times over the course of the last few months. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." That's that old operating system. "According to the prince of the power of the air," that's who owned that operating system, "the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our citizenship, in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Verse 4, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. That is such a beautiful, beautiful section of the scriptures, and really draws a great contrast to where we are, where we were, and where we are. I'm not a real proponent one way or the other about the translation of the Bible called the Message. But there were some verses here in Ephesians chapter 2 that I thought would be a blessing for us to hear and read together as we talk about this particular topic. And so it says, "It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing, when we felt like doing it, all of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God doesn't lose his temper and do away with a whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all of this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in the highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Wow. Read those verses over again sometime in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And then read them in this translation. I think it begins to unfold to us a little bit greater the perspective of how much we have received freely. And we've received that by grace. We didn't deserve it, but we got it, right? And what we did deserve, we didn't get. So it's really something. What we did deserve, we didn't get. It's really, really something. Well, verse 7 through 10 of the King James, it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. For by grace, we always love that verse, for, but God, who is rich in mercy, that in the ages, verse 7, to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. The new operating system, that new nature, Christ in us, Holy Spirit, it's the gift of God. It's that thing that reconnects us with the Father through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7 through 10 in the Message goes on to say, now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does the making, both the making and the saving. He creates each one of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has already gotten ready for us to do, work we had better get busy doing. We've been so blessed, and I thought this analogy of today's technological world, it's pretty hard to avoid. And there are things that come up in life that we just do not have the answer for. There are many of them. For those of you who have struggled in this category with technological issues, you know, many people struggle in this category with spiritual issues. And, you know, we're here to give people hope and help and good news that helps to simplify the reality that God, in his grace and goodness, has given to each person who has made his Son their Lord and Savior a new operating system, a new nature, a new ability to really walk with great victory in this day and time in which we live. So that song we played earlier, Me and God, that is just so true. It is me and God. It's so beautiful. And so I'm going to close again by playing that song. I'll call on a couple of folks after that, and we can play some manifestations. So stay tuned. We're going to keep going here in just a moment.
Can't be done by me and God. talking it over, me and God. Late at night, talking it over, me and God. You could say we're like two peas in a pod, me and God. He's my Father.
Me and